नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today is the most auspicious day. It's the appearance day of Srila Prabhupada. And it's my very good fortune to be able to attempt to glorify Srila Prabhupada with a few words. So I thought today we'll speak on that rather than speak on the Bhagavatam verse. So as you know, we have read from Srila Prabhupada's books that even in the scriptures, and Srila Prabhupada himself places a lot of emphasis on the system of parampara or the disciplic succession. And Krishna himself establishes this disciplic succession because this is the way transcendental knowledge is received by the descending process. So we have so many glorious teachers in our sampradaya and other sampradayas also, who teach the pure unmotivated love of God. So our disciplic succession is based on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam or on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know, it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge, the cream of all Vedic knowledge, and it's the essence of all transcendental knowledge. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it deals with pure devotional service, you know, free from karma, gyan. And Srimad Bhagavatam in the very second verse kicks out mundane religion, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and establishes pure love of God. So this is and establishes also the constitutional nature of the soul, jivera surubhoye krishnera nitya das, that we are part and parcel of Krishna and we are meant to serve Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam actually starts from the point of surrender to Krishna. And as we can see, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is the face of the Lord, it's compared. And the first canto is compared to the lotus feet. So in other words, the 10th canto is the culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially the Vrindavan pastimes, as yesterday Gangeshwar Prabhu was pointing out. That is, you know, the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vrindavan Leela. So the gopas and the gopis, they demonstrate this spirit of surrender. It comes out very nicely. And also, if you read Bhagavad Gita, the last instruction of Krishna, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam charanam vraja aham tvam sarva papa vimokshaya sarvam asuja, that surrender unto me, give up all varieties of mundane religion, I will protect you from all sin. So that is basically the essence of the Vedic scriptures, that to surrender to Krishna, and all the principles in the Vedas are ultimately meant to lead the living entity to this point. Whether it's karma kanda, jnana kanda, eventually it's bringing the living entity to surrender to Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam begins from there. So like you can see, like with the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't even know that Krishna is God. Their love for God is on such a high level that they are not even aware that Krishna is God. And that's how they are serving Krishna. And we know that pastime of the gopis, where they said they are even prepared to go to hell to serve Krishna. Because I think we had to... Yeah, they had to give the dust of their feet. Is that right? So, was it Narad Muni who was going around asking? So, and no one was prepared to do that because they said, we can't, you know, do that. If that will, you know, to cure Krishna's headache, we can't do that, we will go to hell. But the gopis, they said, okay, doesn't matter even if we have to go to hell, but we'll give the dust of our feet. So this is their mood. And also we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the love for the gopis is the highest. And And that's what we all actually aspire for. So, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in the Shikshashtakam, Na Dhanam, Na Janam, Na Sundari, Na Kavitam Va Jagat Isha Kamai. So, you know, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not want wealth, fame, followers, women, because these are obstacles on the path of devotional service for an aspiring devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, he has appeared to distribute the love of the gopis. Or, so that is what he has come to distribute, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is also what is being carried on in our parampara. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, they discriminate freely without discriminating who is qualified, who is unqualified, who is not qualified, who is qualified. They distribute freely. So even so many acharyas in our line have demonstrated this principle. They are distributing love, this ultimate love of God, which is, you know, taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada also, you know, comes in this disciplic succession, and he is also putting forward this unalloyed love for Krishna. He's also presenting this. So as we see, our disciplic succession is not simply based on diksha, because it's not simply based on initiation. Because, you know, in so many sampradayas and you know, people are getting initiated, but our sampradaya is mainly based on spreading this message or giving people this message of pure love about it. And that's what we see what Srila Prabhupada did, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and all the previous acharyas. They didn't simply take initiation, but they actually taught the world the process of devotional service. And, you know, so that's like, you know, if we, the Advaita Acharya, he had 6 sons, out of which 3 were devotees and 3 became like Mayavadis. So simply initiation is not enough. So the ones who were devotees, Advaita Acharya said, okay, we should follow them. But not the ones, you know, who are not, initiation is one thing, but who are not propagating the message, or whose understanding is not correct. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he surrendered to this essence of the Guru Parampara, which is to distribute love of Godhead, as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada, he carried out the prophecy, you know, the prophecy was made that the holy name will be spread in each and every village of the world. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada has actually brought this prophecy true, has made it true. The holy name has spread to such a large extent all over the world. It's, you know, in every major city of the world there is an ISKCON temple. And it is spreading. And even Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he also predicted, you know, holy name will be spread. And in Mayapur, there will be a big temple where devotees will come from all over the world. Play Nirdangas, Kartals, you know, chant the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada, he actually brought this prophecy true. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we should become, said the followers of the Krishna Vandana movement should become gurus. The disciples should get trained up very nicely and propagate the same spirit of love of Godhead. And we know that historical day when Srila Prabhupada, he met his spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Calcutta, in the, I think, the original Gaudiya Math temple. It was, I think, the Bagh Bazar one. So there Srila Prabhupada received his first and last instruction from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which was to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English language to the whole world, especially to the Western countries. And that's where Srila Prabhupada received this instruction. And we see how Srila Prabhupada kept this instruction to his heart. And for so many years, he kept trying, he didn't forget, though there were so many obstacles on his path. And then after, I think, 30, 40 years, Srila Prabhupada was able to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. And I was hearing from this past time by Radhanath Maharaj from a lecture, he was saying that when Srila Prabhupada was leaving for America from Calcutta on the Jaladuta, 4 people came to see him. One of them was his son, Vrindavan Chandra. And Radhanath, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj asked his son, I think it was the youngest son, Vrindavan Chandra, that what were you thinking when Srila Prabhupada was embarking on the Jaladuta? And he said that when he saw Srila Prabhupada, he saw great confidence in him. But at the same time, he was very confident, but at the same time, he was very humble. It's because Srila Prabhupada lives this verse, Tirnadapi Sunichena Taro Riva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadina Kirtaniya Sarahoi. So Srila Prabhupada understood that what he's doing is actually the will of Krishna. It's the mission of Krishna. He's carrying out the mission of Krishna. And, you know, therefore, whether he's a success or failure, that depends on Krishna. Therefore, he was very confident. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada was extremely humble. And Srila Prabhupada's, you know, coming to America to give this message was actually a declaration on declaration of war on Maya. You know, it is said when one takes a Krishna consciousness, that is declaring war on the illusory energy. So Srila Prabhupada declared war on the entire illusory energy by embarking on this mission. And as we know, Srila Prabhupada wrote this poem while on the Jaladuta, Bhagavat Markine, that and Prabhupada was there, writes that how will these people in the Western countries, they'll understand my words. So we can see the mood of, you know, Prabhupada was fully dependent on Krishna. He was not like claiming to be independent. So he was fully dependent on the will of Krishna. How will these people understand, you know, what I'm going to say? You know, I'm from India, I'm an old man, my accent is different. And there they have a totally different lifestyle. But how will they understand? Srila Prabhupada was... So Prabhupada actually prayed to be an instrument in the hands of Lord Krishna. Prayed to be a puppet. And as we have read in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says in the introduction that his only qualification was that he gave this knowledge without changing it. Like a postman doesn't tamper with the contents of the mail. So Prabhupada didn't add anything or didn't subtract anything. So we can hear Prabhupada's lectures, you know. Like you can hear the earliest lectures in 1966, the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. And you can hear the lectures when he was, you know, in his last year of his presence on this planet. And Srila Prabhupada is basically saying the same thing, same truth. He said Srila Prabhupada never compromised on this principle. He gave the same teachings. So that's what Prabhupada said. This is the only reason for my success, that I did not tamper with Krishna's teachings. I presented them as it is. And Srila Prabhupada titled his Bhagavad Gita as it is, not as we want it or as someone else wants it to be. And of course, Srila Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on preaching and on developing a service attitude of preaching. So Srila Prabhupada was always concerned that devotees, his disciples, grand disciples, maintain the high standards of Krishna consciousness. You know, chanting 16 rounds, getting up early, following the regulative principles. And also, at the same time, preaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maintaining the spirit of our parampara, which is to give out this unalloyed love of God. So there is, it just came to my mind when I was preparing the class, this from the Lilamrita. It's been quite a while I've read it, but in this chapter, this momentous hour of need, where Srila Prabhupada, after he has taken sannyas, I think it was the Vyas Puja of his spiritual master, and there he writes a poem. So I thought I'll read that out, which very nicely brings out Srila Prabhupada's mood of preaching and his determination. So this is February of 1961. So on the Vyas Puja day, the anniversary of the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivedanta Swami was again in Vrindavan. In honor of the spiritual master, some of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples had gathered, offered flowers before his picture, and held congregational chanting in the temple. So this whole pastime actually highlights what is the meaning of Vyas Puja also. because today being Vyas Puja. So, you know, what is the mood the disciple should have? But Bhaktivedanta Swami thought that they should be doing much more than that. They should be planning and executing the worldwide preaching mission that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had desired. Instead, they were a gathering of independent individuals, each with his own small idea, each maintaining a small center or living at a center, but with no world programs, not even a program for India. Most of them had no plans or vision beyond their own bodily maintenance. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had asked for a governing body to conduct his movement, but there was no governing body, and practically there was no movement. Some who had fought bitterly were again on speaking terms and feared that any sudden organizational attempts now might simply stir up old animosities. At least they could gather together and make an offering to their spiritual master. So we can see Srila Prabhupada's mood, that how the Vyas Puja is not an occasion where, you know, we get together and simply offer flowers. That's part of it, but it's actually much more. It's an occasion where we carry out the order of the spiritual master. So that's what, you know, that's what's really pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, to the previous acharyas. This spirit of distributing this love of Godhead, the spirit of the parampara. So amongst his god brothers, Bhaktivedanta Swami was a junior sannyasi. Although a recognized writer and editor, he had no temple or followers. Yet he knew he was trying to follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He saw himself helpless and alone against the vast forces of Maya. His godbrothers were not an army united against Maya's forces, but were more like apathetic monks growing old, holding on to religious principles and rituals devoid of life. How could they gather to worship their spiritual master without distressfully admitting their failure, and in the spirit of better late than never, trying to rectify it? Since the custom of Vyas Puja day was for each disciple to write an offering glorifying his spiritual master and to share it within the assembly of God brothers, Bhaktivedanta Swami wrote an offering more like an explosion than a eulogy and humbly placed it before his God brothers for their response. So, this is Srila Prabhupada's offering. Even now, my God brothers, you return here on the order of a master, and together we engage in this puja. But simply a festival of flowers and fruits does not constitute worship. The one who serves the message of the Guru really worships him. Oh shame, my dear brothers, aren't you embarrassed? In the manner of businessmen, you increase your disciples. Our master said to preach, let the neophytes remain inside the temples and simply ring the bells. But just take a good look at the terrible situation that has arisen. Everyone has become a sense enjoyer and has given up preaching. From the seas, across the earth, penetrate the universal shell, come together and preach this Krishna consciousness. Then our master's service will be in proper order. Make your promise today, give up all your politics and diplomacy. So if the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could join and preach together, there was every chance that they could create a spiritual revolution within the sinful world. That had been the hope of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Bhaktivedanta Swami expressed that hope in his Vyas Puja offering. So this is part of it. We can see Srila Prabhupada's mood, you know, what real Vyas Puja means. And of course Srila Prabhupada also, he always felt the urgency of giving Krishna consciousness to others. Because Srila Prabhupada, he had realized knowledge. He could actually see that people throughout the world are suffering. And in his Bhaktivedanta purports, his vision is very nicely given all over his books. And, you know, I was reading one conversation where Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that the communists, they have become very popular by distribution of their literature. By distribution of the mundane literature. So Prabhupada was saying, if we distribute our literature, because this is transcendental literature, he was sure that people will take to it and there will be a change in their lives. So I'll read forward. So Srila Prabhupada says, when will that day come when a temple will be established in every house, in every corner of the world? When will the high court judge be a Gaudiya Vaishnava with tilak beautifully decorating his forehead? When will a Vaishnava winning votes be elected president of the land and preaching be spread everywhere? As he read the poem, its truth exploding in the midst of the gathering of aging sannyasis, some approved and some were incensed. Their meeting, however, took no new direction. They did not sit down together and plan as he had pleaded. Swami Maharaj's poem was taken as another poetic expression or as an opinion. The Godbrothers were inclined to let the old wounds heal with the passing of time. To go back over the whole thing again and reconstruct the mission as it had been before, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had been present, and to attempt all those ambitious programs, how was it possible? They were getting old. Some did not want to leave the shelter of Vrindavan. They would worship Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati within the holy dham. If Bhaktivedanta Swami could do something more, let him go ahead and try. So Bhaktivedanta Swami returned to Keshi Ghat thoughtful. For many years he had been unable to take a leading part in the mission because of family commitments. In 1935 in Bombay, his godbrothers had even asked him to be the president of the Math there. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had said that it was not necessary that Abhay Charan join them. He would come in his own way. Now, by the grace of his spiritual master, he was ready to fulfill the meaning of sannyas. The Krishna consciousness world he had described in his poem was not utopia, presented merely to incite his godbrothers, a dreamer's talk of the impossible. It was possible, but in any case, he had to write and print Krishna conscious books and preach abroad. It was what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted. If his godbrothers would not do it jointly, then he would do it. So we can very nicely see how this again brings out the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So that's what a real Vyas Puja means. So these are always dangers for any movements, you know, coming in the comfort zone. So Srila Prabhupada, he always had this mood of urgency, of giving Krishna to others. And we can see in this temple how we are very fortunate to be in a thriving community, where preaching is going on so nicely, everything is happening nicely, you know, books are being distributed, prasadam being distributed. So if we stay in the association of devotees, and we can also assist Srila Prabhupada in carrying forward his movement. And also we see Srila Prabhupada offered such historical service to the Guru Parampara. Of course, you know, Krishna consciousness was spread all over India as the Gaudiya Math, but Srila Prabhupada brought it abroad. And we should understand the environment Srila Prabhupada was operating in. Because in the West, nobody wants to control their mind and senses. That's the mood. You know, do whatever pleases you at the moment. So this is the kind of environment there, you know, and people take religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion. So, you know, preaching in such a kind of situation is not very easy. But that's, and Srila Prabhupada, he established so many temples all over the world. And he gave the essence of the Vedas. So, the reason we are sitting here today is actually because of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, we won't be here. Srila Prabhupada, you know, made these, Prabhupada said, I've made a temple in which the whole world can live. And Srila Prabhupada also established himself as the founder Acharya of ISKCON. So, you know, and Prabhupada said that ISKCON is his body. So if this movement is Srila Prabhupada's body, we have to deal with the body very carefully. So you know, we cannot hurt the body. The body has to be healthy. And, you know, founder Acharya means that Srila Prabhupada is a prominent spiritual master in ISKCON. And he's the main spiritual master. And, you know, and he'll be the founder Acharya for all the generations to come. You know, of course, there'll be so many other spiritual masters within this movement But Srila Prabhupada is the main representative, and for so many generations to come. That's why Srila Prabhupada, you know, in every temple we have Srila Prabhupada on the Vyasasan. So we don't forget Srila Prabhupada's position. And you know, as we all know, this last instruction Srila Prabhupada gave was that if you want to show your love for me, you cooperate with each other. And that way the movement will become strong. So on this day we can pray for Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that we can cross over all the impediments in our personal life and as a movement as a whole, by praying for Srila Prabhupada's mercy. By his mercy we can actually cross over these impediments, because the path of Bhakti Yoga in this age of Kali can be difficult, because there's so many distractions, and even to maintain the four regulative principles, one needs the mercy of the spiritual master. One needs Srila Prabhupada's mercy, because to maintain the four regulative principles is also not easy in this age of Kali Yuga, though that is just the basics of coming to the human form of life. But we can see, before we were a devotee, for many of us to maintain the four regs, you know, to give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, you know, very, very difficult. It's like impossible. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, that has become, we take that for granted. That's very easy. So we can beg for Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and by begging for good sadhana to be able to chant our 16 rounds. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes.
One comment, what Prabhupada is saying, our education is not complete unless we are Krishna conscious.
That's right.
Because our education meant just to make living, to keep the body fit. But yeah, we are not body, so what is the question of keeping it fit? Hmm. So the main thing is that our education is lacking in Krishna consciousness. Therefore we have to spread this to all the people.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, mundane education simply promotes ignorance. So those who are promoting mundane education are worse than those who are ignorant, who are simply ignorant and they are just following the leaders and those who put forward education. So, and actually their destination is actually worse, as the Sri Upanishad mentions. But this is real education. Any other question or comment or correction? Yes. I'm sorry?
Do you have the poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote when he first came to America?
I'm quite sure it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there. So how to cooperate with each other.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, because we have the material world means the independent mentality. So, spiritual world means the attitude is of dependence. So, material world is the opposite, rebellious, independent mentality. So, first of all, you know, one, we have to understand Srila Prabhupada's books. We have to understand what Srila Prabhupada is putting forward. And we have to understand what Srila Prabhupada has created. He has created ISKCON, the authority structure. So we have a temple, there are devotees, different levels, and this temple president, this GBC. So we should, first we should understand what Srila Prabhupada wants. If we understand that, then we can actually cooperate. So we have to first understand Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission. And put aside our selfish, cooperation is not easy. It's not easy, but it has to be done. So one has to cooperate with one's, local authorities and follow their guidance like that. And keep aside our personal considerations.
One point what you said was cooperation. If we follow the spiritual master instruction, then cooperation will become much easier.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the test of the disciple.
Yeah, that is what it means to be a disciple.
So there's an announcement that, as we know, this Prabhupada's feast today, for Prabhupada Vyasa Puja feast, they need some help in the kitchen. So if anyone likes to volunteer, if you can go behind Prabhupada's house in the makeshift kitchen over there, if anyone wants to volunteer after the class. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
We can see our in front of us Mohan Bibi, always living in Sydney, but his mind is in Melbourne all the time. Melbourne, Mahaprabhu Mandir. How is everything going in Melbourne?
We also have Karunanidhi Prabhu. He sends emails. Yeah. I was reading his email yesterday on the day, it came the day before Janmashtami. So his mind was, I was thinking, his heart is here. He's actually describing what services are there to be done. And he was saying, be careful in the kitchen, don't burn yourself, don't electrocute yourself. Be careful with gas. So many devotees, their heart is here. Because we are so fortunate to be in such a nice temple. The Melbourne temple, as Soliness Bhakti Vishwambar Madhava Swami says, is the crest jewel of all temples in Australia.
All the world.
It's a very unique temple. So here, the service attitude is so strong. As yesterday we could see, everyone was doing such nice service, cooperating with everyone. The preaching mood is very strong. So many harinams, so many programs, bhakti rikshas going on, student programs.
It's like Vrindavan.
It's like Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, this is Vrindavan. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. Yeah.